היה כי תבוא אל הארץ. When you are going to come to earth Israel, אשר השם אלוקיך נותן לך נחלה וישב ישב סבב. After you capture earth Israel, and you divide and inherit and dwell in earth Israel, ולקחת מהשית כל פרי אדמה, you should take from the first fruits that grow in earth Israel, אשר תביא מארצך, only from your own property, אשר השם אלוקיך נותן לך ושמת בתנך. What you got to do is to take the first fruit that grows, and this is only from the seven kinds that Eretz Israel was blessed with. This is wheat and barley and grapes, a fig, a pomegranate, an olive and a date. From all those seven kinds only, you have to take the first one that grows, and you should take it. והלכת אל המקום אשר יבחר השם אלוקיך לשכן שמו שם. We're going to take it to ירושלים. So חכמים tell us that the reason for the ביקורים, that called ביקורים, this is a mitzvah, that to take it and to give it to the Kohen. So חכמים tell us, first of all, you have to know there is no quantity required. It's not too many mitzvot that we don't know the size and the quantity. Usually Moshe Rabbeinu learned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when he came back from Shamayim, after he learned, he taught us, and this is our heritage, that we know sizes and quantities what Hashem wants us to do. For example, you need a shofar. I said, what is the minimum size of the shofar? The maximum is unlimited, but the minimum one. How small can I have if I have a shofar? There's a horn from a very small deer, a very tiny one. Tiny one, 2 inches. I can blow with this. I says, what is the size? There's no size. Moshe Rabbeinu came from Shamayim and told us, yes, the size is, you should be able to hold it in your hand. It's like 10 centimeters. A shofar less than 10 centimeters is not kosher. Even though that you may blow, and you can hear a very beautiful voice and noise, it doesn't matter. The sound of the shofar has to come from a shofar that has a sizable thing that Moshe Rabbeinu was taught by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And most of the things that we obey, the size of the sukkah, the size of the lulav, it's a Moshe Rabbeinu, most of the things Moshe Rabbeinu told us, what is the minimum size? Usually there is no maximum, sometimes there is maximum, but usually there isn't. A certain thing, there's no size, there's no quantity, there's nothing. It's minimum, nothing. For example, Bikurim is one of them. That's what we say every morning. And this is the Mishnah, this is the Tosefta, what we say every morning. Elu dvarim shein lahem shiur. We count those things. They have no measurement, have no quantity. It's a minimum size. One of them is Bikurim. That's the mitzvah that we're learning right now. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires from you the first fruit that grows on your tree, or it's a wheat or it's a barley, it says you take the first one that grows, and that's called Bikurim. This you have to require to go take it to Yerushalayim. How big is this thing? Like a hair, like something that you need a magnifying glass. Nothing. There is no quantity, there is no measurement, there is no weight, nothing. It says, what you have to do? It says, take the first one that grows. So how big it is, the smallest thing that grows. You see, it's not going to grow again. It's not going to grow more. That's the size of it. It's a very small, little grain of a wheat, of a barley. It says, you went to your field, and you saw what grows over there. At that end of it, pick it, put it in a basket, you're going to Yerushalayim, you're going to give it to the Kohen. Sounds absurd. For this you want to drag me to Yerushalayim, that I should put in a basket something very small, and I'm going to the Kohen. Okay? This would be bad enough, just, you know, if that's what I had to do. But then I have to, this ceremony when you get there. So the sentence 3, this is how the ceremony starts. ומתי אל הכהן אשר בימים ההם, you have to go to the Kohen, ומתי אל הכהן אשר בימים ההם, it says, here I am to tell you, And to tell you God, kibati el haaretz, to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I came to this land, v'shenishba Hashem l'avotenu latet lanu. So Chachamim tells us, that when you come and you bring this basket, that's almost nothing in it, you come to the Kohen, he says, you see, look at the Kohen, you look at the magnifying glass to find what you got in the basket. I said, oh, I see the little raisin over there, the corner, or the little piece of grain on the other side of the corner. I says, what is this? Is the Bikurim? He says, fine, thank you very much. And he says, now what you ought to do is when you give it to him, you tell him that statement like this is neat. I am here to tell you to say a statement that thank God that HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us this land, and here I am in this land. So Hamim tell us what is the purpose of that statement is to show that you appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you don't deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu's so-called generosity to you. So that's called in Hebrew, it's called Kfui Tova. It says, I'm here, I appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu for maybe also for what grew inside my property, inside my land, and as well for the land itself, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a land. So that's very nice. So that's again, that's the purpose, that to show appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the first of all, it's nothing to do with the seven kinds. You have to show appreciation for your tomatoes, for your cucumbers, for your apples, for the oranges, for anything else that grow, you have to show appreciation. The second question is, if it's really appreciation, this is nothing to do with the halacha, is only if you own a piece of land and the thing grows in your land. It means like this, you may not go to the market, and listen, everybody goes to Yerushalayim, they bring bikurim, I don't have anything, either I don't have trees in my backyard, or my trees did not produce this year. You know what, I'm going to go to the market, I'm going to buy some fruit, I put it in from certain kinds, of course, and I put it in the basket. Look at Yerushalayim, I said, no, you can't. What you got to do is only things that grow. He says, I want to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did give me a land. And, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, it happened to be those same kinds did not grow this year, or maybe I don't have those kind of trees, but I have an apple tree, I have an orange tree, I have a chalk tree, I have a lot of trees. I just don't have the seven kinds, but you know, I really would like to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tell him I appreciate you. He says, you don't have to, don't come to Beit HaMikdash, don't drag yourself over there, you don't have to say nothing. If it grows in your backyard, the seven kinds, fine. If it doesn't, you don't have to. If it don't grow, you don't have to go. Don't go. This is why I like him, you know. If it's to show that I appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu by everything he gives me. This is nothing to do with the seven kinds, and this is nothing to do with, it's my own land. I may go to the market, I purchase, whatever Hashem likes me to bring the coin, I purchase and give it to the coin. He says, no, open it, goes in your land. I says, how much is it? It's one little grain. So one little grain, you make a fuss, you make this issue, so forget about it. Let me go get it. No, don't get nothing. If it grows, fine. In your land, okay. If it doesn't, you're not obligated. If you don't own the land, for sure not. This is why, if I don't own the land, so I rent an apartment. And I stay in Israel, I'm in a hotel. I don't own the land, so I'm not allowed to come to Yerushalayim and bring my appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you very much, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since it's a Jewish state, I'm here, I'm a Jew. I didn't have a chance to get, but what the reason was, doesn't matter what the reason. Now I want to bring the coin something to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have Israel. Don't have to. Don't drag yourself. Sentence, formula, kach ha-kohen, latin lim yadecha, v'nichot l'misbach Hashem elokecha. First the coin takes the basket and he shakes it up and down, sideways, and then you have a text. Anita v'amarta lifnei Hashem elokecha, then you have to read something, and that thing what you read has to be in Hebrew. Some things that we have to do, you have to say, you can say in any language that you understand. This is one of the things that you have to say in Hebrew only. It's a text, and if you don't understand, too bad. So they used to have a metamidash like a plaque what the text is going to be, and the person used to come, and not everybody knew Hebrew, especially in the second metamidash, they didn't know Hebrew. So they spoke mainly Aramaic. This is where the Gemara is in Aramaic, and some part of Asila is in Aramaic. So they used to come to Beit HaMikdash, and they had to be doing the Kareem. He says, don't speak Hebrew. Don't speak Hebrew. He says, doesn't matter. But the Kohen says, stay after me, like a parrot. And the Kohen used to read the next few sentences in Hebrew, and the guy that brought the Bikurim used to repeat it like a parrot. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't understand what he's saying. It doesn't matter. You got to say the text. And the text that you're going to say is in Hebrew, you must say it in Hebrew. Again, I don't understand what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. Say it in Hebrew. Doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound right. Again, certain, for example, Tefillah, it's the whole discussion among the Chachamim. That is the whole discussion among the Chachamim, what to do, for example, Shmoneh. So let's talk about Shmoneh so for a second. You know, I'm not a rabbi here, I'm just telling you off the record, what we call. So Shmoneh, so it's a whole machloket among the Chachamim. You know, I don't speak Hebrew so well, and I have a Siddur, but I do know how to read Hebrew, but I have no idea what I'm saying. I have no idea what I'm saying. So now it's time to pray. So I come to the Knesset, and if somebody gives me Siddur, I know how to read Hebrew. I have no idea what it says. So what should you say? You should say in Hebrew language, and even if you don't understand one word that you're saying. Or better off, have an English Siddur and pray. At least you're talking to Hashem, you know what you're saying. Otherwise, you stand in front of Hashem, it's Chinese to you. It's all makhlok and amur hachamim, much better. Because the Hebrew language has a lot of power, even if you don't understand. So even if you don't understand, still it's a very powerful language. For example, Chachamim say, you say Tehillim. You don't understand every word in Tehillim. Sometimes you miss a sentence. So, but it's in Hebrew. What's better? To have to buy an English Tehillim and to say the English Tehillim and I understand. Or better maybe, I should have a Tehillim in Hebrew, even though they didn't understand. It's a whole machloket among the Chachamim, what's better? But again, some Chachamim say, better off not in Hebrew. It's 100% Siddur in English, it's 100% Shmoneh Esrei in English. Better off you talk to Hashem, you know what you're saying. Rather than you just say, stand over there like an idol, and you talk and you talk and you have no idea what you're saying. Even though they might have some power, the Hebrew language, but again, when you stand in front of Hashem, you should know what you're saying. You can't just stand in front of Hashem and just mumble things and you don't know what you're saying. Here it's a special, it's one of the few places that you must say it in Hebrew, even you don't understand anything. There's no discussion among the Chachamim, what's better, what word, it's as easy as we're having a text. This text must be said in Hebrew, even though that you don't know how to read, not to speak, not to talk, I mean you don't understand Hebrew, it doesn't matter. The Kohen had, in terms of saying what I mean, he had a text. And then wherever brought Bikurim, ask him, you speak Hebrew? He says, no, Chinese. He says, Chinese doesn't matter. He says, I tell you what, you stay after me, word after word, that the guy says. Not only that, the Gemara says over here, again, it's one of the few places that you cannot just say it. You must raise your voice. Very, very, very strange. Very strange. For example, the Gemara says, while you're praying, if you scream because that scream, it means that you think that Hashem will hear you better, the Gemara says, what you call it in America, something's wrong with you. Hashem hears you better. Well, and you make like Hashem is deaf. It says, if that thing that you raise your voice makes you to have better kavana, this is one thing. But if you raise your voice while you're praying, while you're talking to Hashem, and the reason why you're raising your voice is because you want Hashem to hear you, it means you have no idea who is Hashem. It says, something's wrong with you. Gemara says, it says, Hashem doesn't listen to you. It says, you swim to Hashem. It says, here is one of the few places that not only you have to say the text in Hebrew, that you don't understand Hebrew, you have to raise your voice. It says, Anita v'amarta. Says the Gemara, it says, Anita v'amarta. It says, it's the same thing. It says, you should answer, and you should say, what do you mean answer? So it says, no. It means over here, you have to raise your voice. You got to stand in the Tamidash, and you got to scream it. It says, you have to scream for what? For what I have to scream it? I don't understand why I have to scream. It says, Hashem, you tell me when I pray to Hashem, it says, you don't have to raise your voice. Hashem hears you. As softly as you can say say, Hashem is everywhere, Hashem listens to you. Okay, I come to Beit HaMikdash, and say, sir, what is this? Bikurim. Okay, sir, you got to say after me. Okay, I said, no. You got to scream it. For what is to scream it? For what is to scream it? Again, it's one of the few places that you have to scream, you have to raise your voice. So that's the text. Ascendance, Faida, Nita, Vamatalit, Najim, Lokecha, Arami, Obed, Avi, it means Lavan, it says you recognize those sentences, it's from Haggadah Shel Pesach. That's what we say on the night of Pesach, Arami, Obed, Avi, Vayirad, Mitzrema, Vayagor, Sham, Mipte, Me'at, refers to Yaakov Avinu, that Lavan wanted to kill him. Eventually, Yaakov went to Egypt, dwelt over there, and he came with few people, Vayisham, Nguye, Gadolot, Tumarab, and he became a big nation. This is, what's the significance? First of all, Baruch Hashem, we have no information how many wives each person has, but we do have information that the ladies used to give birth for six children at a time. So if you calculate, we were in Egypt about 210 years. So we went down 70 people. So if 70 people go down, and then they get married, and they have every few months six children, so 600,000, the number the Torah gives us, is not something unbelievable, outstanding. If you calculate it, after 210 years, and if you don't have wars, and the stock market doesn't crash, so you come up to 600,000 people. It's nothing. I said, you come to Hashem, he says, you know, our grandfather Jacob went to Egypt with 70 people, and when we left Egypt, it was 600,000. Big deal, so. Of course, maybe what it means is that, the power wanted to kill the babies. Maybe that's what it means. But anyway, it's irrelevant. Multiplication, it has to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have children, you have more children. It doesn't matter. Anyway, quantity is not so important as quality. And it says, listen, it means nothing, There's a lot of garbage, very few diamonds. It doesn't matter. If you don't come here very much, we have 60 million Jewish people, so what? So today can make more money, they sell more tefillin and lulavim. It doesn't mean anything. What kind of statement is this? Well, who cares about it? It went down to 70 and now 600,000, so what do you try to say? What do you try to say? That Hashem is kind to you? I don't know if you know, but the Midrash says that Yaakov Avinu was very rich, and he had a lot of cattle and sheep. So the Midrash says, how do you think Yaakov Avinu was able to control the sheep and the bulls? So he had dogs. He had dogs all over. And his dogs were watching it. Yaakov had only a harp, and used to sit down and sing. And says, who took care of everything? Who helped him? And it was an enormous amount. So the Gemara says, he had dogs. The Gemara says, how many dogs? I said, over 1 million dogs. 1 million dogs. Hemsley. So you have million dogs, so what? So what do you mean? So what? You're proud of yourself. So multiplication. So what is the multiplication? We get married, so they have their children. Vayisham legoy gadol atum v'aram, sentences v'yodana mitum v'yanun v'tum v'tum v'lakashah, the Egyptian gave us a hard time. To uchat us. נצעק על השם אלוקי אבותינו, ומסכים של השם ישמע השם מתקבל לדעת שם ידע מדינו לחתינו, אני אצל מודי סס לבי ביקורים, נעבור את זה, it's a history book. A guy brought to the Kohen a raisin, and says, please read the text. He says, what the text say? The text say, once I was in Egypt. He says, what is it? Thousands of years from now, what do you want to talk about it now? What it has to do now with Bikurim? I brought a raisin, I said, you want to know something? Once upon a time, Laban wanted to kill my great-grandfather. I said, how many years ago? 5,000 years ago. Oh yeah? And now what you want to say? I said, by the way, then we went to Egypt. How many years ago? 4,000 years ago. Fine. And now what you want to say? He says, finally we went out of Egypt. I said, how did you get out of Egypt? We prayed to Hashem, and we spoke to Hashem, and we got out of Egypt. What is Louis Bikurim now? He's not from Egypt to Bikurim. הביאנו למקום הזה, הקדוש ברוך הוא בלוט עשיר, תזהיר הים נער, בינגל לביקורים, תראו את הארץ הזאת, השם גיבה סיסלן, ארץ זמת חלב ודבשיף סיסלן, זה נתורה, it says, ארץ, a land that produces milk and honey. It says, that's what it is. That's how he wants to describe Israel. Somebody wants, he wants to go Aliyah today. And says, he goes to the Jewish Federation, he says, I want to move to Israel. He says, why? He says, I heard, it says in the Torah, that has a lot of milk and honey. So for this, he wants to move to Israel. You know, it's a holy land. You tell me, it's a holy land. You tell me, I'm a Jew, I belong over there. You tell me, you know, there's a high tech over there, there's nice beaches over there. And now I go, the weather is good. It makes sense. They don't say, you know, it's true. The Gemara says it's true. It's true. In Israel at the time of Beit Hamikdash, and afterwards even, the people used to go and used to see a lot of honey dripping from the trees. Dripping from date trees mainly. Sometimes from fig trees as well. But again, usually the Torah refers to honey as honey that comes dripping from a date tree, from the date. Okay, so I wish gold will drip down from a tree. Or oil. Well, not honey. He says, that's why I came. He says, here I'm in Israel. He says, thank you very much, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thousands of years ago you released my great-grandparents from Egypt, and here I am in the land that produces milk and honey. He says, that's what you can say about Israel?
No oil.
That I live, huh?
No oil.
No oil is coming down, so. Not no dollars, maybe. No insurance company. What can we, Albert, here?
The gold is up. $80
in
one day.
Okay. So it's a shame. It's a shame we don't have any Israel gold. ואתה הנה הבאתי את ראשית מן האדמה שנתת לי השם, אצלי היא הקדוש ברוך הוא היא היום, and I'm bringing you the first fruit. So that, I appreciate very much, so aren't you ashamed of yourself? Such a nice speech that you gave, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu released you from Egypt and saved your great-grandfather from Laban and gave you this land that you're proud of, it's called a land that produces milk and honey. It says, so, now let me see what you got. It says, you see, I have a basket. You see, the basket is a tremendous basket. It, three people have to lift it. And inside the basket, he has one grain of wheat. He says, here it is for you. It's a shame on you. שנחת לפני השם אלוקיך ושתחבית לפני השם אלוקיך ושמחת בכל הטוב שאתה לך השם אלוקיך ולביתך אתה ולדיע לגיע בשם יקרבך. אז אותם זה גמרא, says the Mishnah the following. It's a lot of הלכות, but one of the הלכות. One of the הלכות of that ביקורים, the text that we just read, that text could be, should be read only in a certain time. Says the Gemara, when? It says, well, I have a fruit. Here's my fruit. And the fruit, you know, it was a grape, and I dried it, now it's a raisin. See, I live in Sfat, it's hard for me to leave my place, you know, I'm busy. So I keep it, I put it on the side. This is called Bikurim, that's the first fruit. Eventually I'll take it to Yerushalayim. I come to Yerushalayim, here there's a text. So the coin asks, what is the day today? It says, today is between Chag HaShavuot and Chag HaSukkot. It says, perfect. Sir, here's the text. Say what it says on the text, and this is the mitzvah that you got, this is the mitzvah to say. It's one of the 630 mitzvot. It's not just a custom. It's one of the 630 mitzvot. It says, read the text, okay? It says, happened to me, I could not come to the time English between this time, between Shavuot and Sukkot. I happened to come to Yerushalayim in the winter time. In the meantime, after Chag HaSukkot, everything, you know, I come to Yerushalayim, he says, okay, sir, what you got? He says, I got Bikurim. You got Bikurim? Okay. He says, what about the text? No, don't say no text. No text. Text you can say only between Shavuot and Sukkot. Comes the Mishnah, comes the Gemara and says, why? What's the problem? He says, the problem is the following. He says, you should read the text only when you're very happy. You're happy. I says, based on this pasuk, sentence 11, "V'samachta b'chol hatov," you should be happy, whatever Hashem gave you. I says, happiness is only a few months a year. I mean, the rest of the year, so-called in America, is called depression.
or in America now it's called recession.
Recession.
It's depression. What depression is? It says, well, I tell you what it is. It says, since I'm a farmer, and you should know, in Israel, the farmer, they go and they harvest whatever grows for a limited time. The time that in Israel, the harvest, the fields, the orchard, is between Shavuot and Sukkot. Then comes the winter time, and I'm home, I don't do anything, and I wait for the following year. So when I harvest, after Chag HaShavuot, going to the fields and harvest and take everything inside the house, this is from, I'm busy from Chag HaShavuot until Sukkot. Sukkot, if you remember, it's called Chag HaAsif. This is the end, that I bring everything to the house, I'm ready for the winter time. This is, that makes me happy. It's an explanation, but it means like this. I collect everything and I bring it to the house. So, Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave me very, very good produce. He said, I brought it. He says, then the Torah says, when you come to the Tamikdash in that time, again, between Shavuot and Sukkot, and this is the time that you collect and you harvest and you bring everything home. He says, then you come to the Tamikdash. The Kohen says, no, what is this? It's Bikurim. I said, oh, fine. Now you read this text. He says, you know what the text says? I was in Egypt, I came out of Egypt, and here I'm in Israel, here it is. He says, now it's after Sukkot. It's after Sukkot. He says, I came to Beit HaMikdash a day after Sukkot. The one day after Sukkot. He says, what is this? He says, that's the basket we call him. He says, okay, thank you very much. He says, where's the text? No text. He says, what happened? He says, it's not a happy time anymore. So when a happy time? He says, no, because on Sukkot, usually people already finish bringing all this produce inside the houses, and there's no more happiness. No more happiness. You should know, Baruch Hashem, I'm in business. My business is booming. I am doing very well in business. I'm not a farmer. I happened to be in my backyard. I had a grape tree. And here I brought you some grapes as bikurim because it's mitzvah in the Torah. This is not to do with happiness, not happiness. I'm happy with my job. I'm happy with my wife. Happy with my family. I'm a happy person. Not to do because I brought to my house a few boxes of grapes and grew in the summertime in my backyard. This is the happiest man in the world. This is not to do with this. By the way, really, if you ask my personal thing, I hate being a farmer. You know, I'm a white collar man. I'm not a blue collar, not a red collar. I go, the president of, let's say, Rakovia Zichrono Livracha, or Lehman Brothers Zichrono Livracha. You know, I'm Baruch Hashem, I'm very well, you know, I have nothing to do. Well, you know, there's a mitzvah of Bikurim, so I planted in my backyard. I planted something over there in my backyard, and now I bring it to the Kohen. You can't tell me, listen, I'm not a happy person, because people only bring to the houses between Shavuot and Sukkot, those are the happy people. It is after Sukkot, you're not called happy. I'm not happy, I'm very happy. I'm very happy, the opposite. I'm more happy now. I don't know what to work, I don't know what to do. Now I sit at home the whole winter, and I enjoy myself. Just the opposite. The summertime I work very hard, I'm not happy. Just the opposite. He says, don't read the text. You're not a happy person. But yeah, I am happy. You're not happy. Look at me, I'm happy. You're not happy. Sorry. It's much cheaper, yeah. No, but he has to live in Israel. Bikurim is the only one that sleeps. The one that doesn't in Israel doesn't really sleep. Usually it means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, when Beit HaMikdash. I know, yeah. Sukkot has more meaning than all the other holidays. To be there on Sukkot, it's very powerful. Because Sukkot is the lulav, and the lulav is a thing even with Beit HaMikdash is not there, you still do it in Yerushalayim, especially. If you skip, with your permission, to sentence 15, even though that sentence is written after another subject that's called Biur Ma'asrot, that you have to give the Ma'asrot in Eretz Israel to the Levi, to the poor people, to the Kohen, but that sentence refers to Bikurim as well. It says how powerful it is. So the Gemara says, the Gemara Yerushalmi says the following. that person that brought the Bikurim to Beit HaMikdash and he gave the basket to the Kohen, he was able to hear Hashem's sound, speaks to him, tells him in his ear, I'll see you next year. Tizkei l'shana ba. It's amazing, you know, that thing, amazing that Hashem gives you so-called a goodbye and hello together, and he tells you, you come back. You'll come back next year. It's a guarantee, you know? You don't have to have insurance, right? It's no problem anymore with AGA. What do you call it? AIG. No more. You don't need that insurance. Don't need. Hashem tells you in your ear. You brought the Kohen. That's how powerful this mitzvah is. You brought the basket to the Kohen. You got in the basket one little raisin. You gave it to the Kohen. Says the Gemara Yerushalmi, you'll be able to, if you have clean ears. You went to mikveh, and you're pure, and you're holy. You come, Hashem says, I'll see you next year. You're not going to die. You're not going to die. Whoever brought the Kohen and did it right, didn't die. Didn't die. No. If they would be with Kohen forever. The following year, he couldn't come. He couldn't come. Something happened, he couldn't come. If he would come, he would live forever. You know, there's another thing that they said. There was a big rabbi in Yerushalayim. It's a true story, they say. They say that somebody died, and the rabbi came to pay yeshiva call to him, to the family. And he told the family, I know why he died. He says, he came to visit me. And I told him, have a good year. Shana tova, k'tiva v'chatima tova. And I say it again, Shana tova, k'tiva v'chatima tova. Shana tova, k'tiva v'chatima tova. A few times he never said Amen. Never said Amen, he died. A true story. Maybe this guy, when Hashem told him, I'll see you next year, he didn't say Amen. Maybe you should say Amen. You have to say Amen. Somebody tells you, I'll see you next year, you have to say Amen. If you don't say it, means you don't care. So that's what the Tabai said. This man died. He said it in the Shiva. People were astonished. Was the chief, was Rosh Abadat in Yerushalayim. It wasn't a simple man. And he says, you have to know, when somebody says Shana Tova, you say Amen. You just don't shake your head. You say Amen. Maybe this man did not say Amen. And so he didn't live forever. But that's again, that's how powerful this Mitzvah Bikurim is. It might be the biggest one. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to you and tells you, I'll see you next year. What else you should expect? Nobody says that he says it to you when you come to visit him on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. Bring Bikurim, he says, wait. I would have thought, you know, he says to me, if he brought something important, I don't want to raise it in the basket, then Hashem tells him, I'll see you next year. That description in the Mishnah, and again in the Rambam, the Gemara, what went on when that person brought Bikurim? So first of all, they used to close all the stores in Yerushalayim. So he used to be a person at the gate of Yerushalayim standing up, and he sees a person comes and says, why are you coming to Yerushalayim? He says, Bikurim. By the way, he called on the cell phone, emailed everybody. He says, there's a guy over here, he has a basket, and he has one raised in the basket. So everybody had to close the stores on Jaffa Street, and King George Street, and Ben Yehuda Street. And all the way up to Beit HaMikdash, they all were standing outside the stores, and says, welcome, so welcome for the reason. See, they were busy for months like this. So the Gemara says, I mean, the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Halacha, it's not a joke. That says that if few people used to come together, so they used to go, all the people used to go in front of them, to go say hello to them, and they used to greet them. And then they used to sing and dance with them. They sing and dance until they came to Beit HaMikdash. Dancing, music. They had a bull going in front of them. The horns of the bull were covered with pieces of gold. I says, for what is the celebration? For the reason. Amazing. Then comes the Gemara, then comes the Torah, says that's the statement now. The statement, this is so-called, the final statement after a person brought the Kareem, he comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he tells him the following. Ashkifa, please, again, even though that sentence appears in the Torah in a different paragraph, the Gemara says it goes on Bikurim. I said, what did it say over here? It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, Imam Kodshecha min HaShemayim from the sky. Please, look from upstairs and make sure you do what you got to do. I said, look at the person who talks to Hashem like this. What a chutzpah. What a chutzpah. Just to talk to Hashem and say, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at me. Do what you got to do. I said, what do you mean, sir? He says, you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did what I got to, what I had to do. I brought Bikurim, I did this. He says, now you do what you got to do. He says, a little bit, you know, be more polite. I mean, be a gentleman. You don't talk to Hashem like this. By the way, the Gemara says, the word Hashkifa means look. I says, when you use this word is bad news. So, when you find in the Tanakh the word Hashkifa, the Hashkif, the Yashkif, it says that root, Shakof, that root is bad news. It means something bad is coming. It's when you say hurricane is coming, or the market is coming down, tumbling down, you say the word Hashkifa. When you want to talk about good things, you don't use that word. There's two different words to look. One is to say, I see. Lirot, it means to see. That's good, okay. But if something happened, it's a tragedy. When you saw the tragedy, in Hebrew, you use a different word when you see a bad thing happening. It says, this is the word, Hashkifa. Okay, now this man, after he brought the Bikurim, he said, Hashem, please, I want you to look at me. So called, look at me with your bad eyes. You don't want Hashem to look at me with bad eyes. The word that the Torah is using, says the Gemara, is the wrong word. Wrong word. Hashem should not have used that word. That word, bad news. Here you talk to Hashem, then listen, Hashem, I want you to look from the sky and do what you got to do, the good things to me. In the same time, you're using the word that the Torah, the Tanakh used for bad things that's happening. The Gemara, it's true. You know what it is over here? It's a top secret. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so-called, a strong hand that punishes universe. Now, because I brought Bikurim and I did what I got to do with the poor people, I so-called twist that hand. I twist it, and when I twist that hand, I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu from that hand that I twisted, give me what I supposed to get. So-called, if you want to compare it to our lifetime, it's like you get money from the IRS. And usually you give money to Uncle Sam. Sometimes, you know, Uncle Sam decides to give you money and says, doesn't make sense. Who expects to get a check in money from IRS? So this HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in that moment that you did what you got to do, you tell Hashem, I want to get from you, but from what I want, not from your bank account. I want to get money from so-called the money that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give. And that money Hashem uses, for example, to pay so-called policemen. I says, the opposite, you say, not only that I'm talking to Hashem within the language I should not use, and I say, listen, you got to give me because I did. He says, not only you got to give me, you got to give me from so-called the left side, from the bad things you got to give me. It means I control the bad things that Hashem owns, and not only he has to pay me, he has to pay me from so-called from the negative side, from things so-called that he never uses it to so-called to provide. This money is for punishing. For example, he wants to make me this poison. Hashem wants to make me these missiles. He says, no, from that money, I want you to give me that money. It means that side does not have a control anymore. He says, what is the power? One more thing before we go. The parasha always must be read, if you remember, 2 weeks before Shoshana. That's the last affair that came from Babel, decided, and when he divided the parashiyot, that parasha always must be read in the Knesset, the second Shabbat before Shoshana. Says the Gemara, the reason for that is, Pichlei Shana Bekilotea, we have these six parashah, 98 curses. Well, this is 98, Moshe Rabbeinu said this, if you don't listen to Hashem, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. I got sick and tired just after, you know, 10 curses. Here comes Moshe, says 98 curses. He says, first of all, it's not necessary. See? If it's just to threaten me that I should behave, just threaten me and say, listen, Moshe, Moshe, listen. If you listen, fine. If you don't listen, don't worry. Hashem has a lot of things in his sleeve. Hashem is going to punish you. He says, what is the punishment? What do you care about punishment? And if you don't know the name of the sickness, every day the doctor comes with a new name of a sickness. What does that make? You all go, you have a hospital. You have 98 floors in the hospital. So you walk downstairs and that's a hospital of sick people. So you care who is on the first floor, who is the second floor, who is floor number 10, floor number 90. Doesn't matter. They're all sick people. God should have mercy on them. And you don't have to know what kind of sickness is this. What does he have? Who cares what he has? If the purpose of the curses is just to warn you and to make sure that you're not going to fall into that sickness, then don't go to the hospital. He says, no, don't go to the second floor, don't go to 98th floor. Who cares about it? I really don't care. It's 98 curses, it's 100 curses, it's 1,000, it's 1,000,000. Who cares the number? He says, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to count all the curses and say all kinds of sicknesses. This is who cares about it. I don't need it. No, you must read it before Rosh Hashanah. Just one sentence. I would like, with your permission, before we go to the Arim. This is chapter 28, sentence 63, with your permission. This is, I think, the most disturbing sentence in the whole Torah. It's in the middle of the curses. Hashem says something like this. V'haya. V'haya, usually the word V'haya, most of the time, is very good news. V'yehi is so-so. V'yehi b'yemez, bad news. But the word V'haya, and you read the word V'haya in the Torah, says the Gemara, always good news. Perfect. Happiness. Fine. What's the happiness about? We're in the middle of the curses now. So here comes the Torah and says like this. Kasher sas Hashem aleichem nativ etchem la'avod etchem. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so happy to provide for you and multiply you. Can you imagine how Hashem was happy to provide you? The same happiness can yasis Hashem aleichem la'avod etchem la'shmid etchem. The same happiness that Hashem was so happy to provide, Hashem is going to take the same happiness and will give it to Yimach Shimam, to all the Nebuchadnezzar, to Hitler, to Isabella, to Obama. I mean, it says to all of them, to destroy you. It says very disturbing. Hashem was so happy to provide me. Hashem is going to be so happy to give this kind of happiness to our enemies to destroy us. This doesn't sound like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This doesn't. It was true. It was true. In the Holocaust, the last Holocaust, before the same thing. It says how those people, those animals, they were so happy to torture us. And to destroy us, to kill us, was so-called with happiness. Here it says in the Torah, Hashem will provide his happiness. He uses that happiness to provide. He's going to take this happiness and he'll give it to our enemies to be happy to destroy us. That says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mechila. I don't know. It doesn't sound like God of mercy. It's a very cruel thing to say. Very cruel. Again, but it's not nice to say like this. You don't talk, you know, you are the children of Hashem. Hashem, you know, I was so happy to provide you. I'll take this happiness and I'll give it to your enemy to be so happy to destroy you. This is why Hashem is talking like this. Ari says like this. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created this world, he created really souls, not bodies. The body was just, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mixed some earth, soil some with some water, and he made our body. this was not the purpose. The body is just a suit for the neshama. Really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was worried about only the neshamot from the worlds before, not the body. The body means nothing. And that's why it is the fatal fatal shuv. That's why after 120 a person he goes to the grave, because the body is nothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't look at the body of the person. It's a neshama. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the person. He made it. He made it as a soul, as a neshama, not the body. Of course, the body is just, you know, something to cover the neshama, but the main thing is the neshama. The neshama needs some fuel to live. For example, if somebody only will study Torah all day long, without food, he'll die. The neshama flies away. The doctor will come, check him up, he says, no heartbeat. His brain dead first, and then his heart is all dead. So what happened? Where is the neshama? The neshama flew. I mean, the neshama must eat. I said, the neshama must eat. This is what the neshama eats. I said, I know the body eats. I said, neshama, so now if a person doesn't eat, he'll die. He says, if you don't eat, you'll die. You learn Torah without food, you die. This is the food that you eat keeps you alive. He says, so what does the neshama eat? How can it be? Somebody asked this question to the Ari. I said, I don't understand the whole system. I said, somebody learns Torah, it's very holy, very holy, very holy, but he doesn't eat, then he'll die. And somebody eats, he's alive. I said, you're talking about neshama. I said, what does neshama eat? Where's the neshama? If somebody doesn't eat, what happened in the neshama? You can say he lies on the bed, he doesn't have any strength. He can't talk, he can't move. But the doctor will come and say, okay, he has a heartbeat. I said, his brain is working. He just says, he didn't eat anything. He says, no, eventually he'll die. I said, what do you mean eventually he'll die? He'll die, it means the neshama flies away. The neshama flies away, why? Why does the neshama need food? The neshama must eat food. So it can't be. How much neshama can eat food? And neshama, that when you learn Torah, you're not going to eat, you're going to die. He says, if you don't eat, you're going to die. Even if you learn Torah. He says, how is it possible? So I said, the neshama eats so-called the taste and the smell of the food. This is why we say special bracha when you smell something. I said, because it comes from the sentence, last sentence on Tehillim, we say every morning, kol neshama tehalel ya, hallelujah. I said, the neshama prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I said, the neshama prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the smell. From the smell and the taste. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his wisdom, when he created food, he created the smell and the taste of the food, because that is the fuel of the neshama. Therefore, says Ari, if you're not going to eat, you're going to die. Because if you don't eat, it's no smell that the neshama smells, and there is no food. There is no taste. There is no taste you die. It says the root of that energy is the seven kinds that Eretz Yisrael was blessed by, and this is the original energy for your neshama. It means if you would be able only to eat things from Eretz Israel, only the seven kinds, your neshama flies all the time. It means your neshama is very high, on a very high level, and your health is a very high level. Since you like to have other things as well, so you eat from this, you eat from that. So again, the taste and the smell is energy, fuel for your soul, for your neshama, but on a lower level. If it's from Europe, it's on a lower level. If it's from America, it's a lower level. But again, all the food that you eat, and the fruits, the vegetables, everything that you eat, gives the neshama so-called the boost all the time. But again, the boost is lower outside of Eretz Israel, and even in Eretz Israel is lower if it's not from the seven kinds. No, it means lower, it means the fuel is like, it's like 83 octane in the gas station. It means it doesn't give the neshama, it doesn't give your soul all the energy that your soul can take. Yeah. The seven kinds. That's what I said. The seven kinds Israel was blessed by. This is the wheat and the barley and the grape and the fig and the pomegranate and the olive and the date. They have the most energy. And that's what Eretz Israel was blessed by, this, because if the things that grow in Eretz Israel, they have some kind of energy that comes from the land of Israel, and that clan of Israel produces it. And this is the secret, Eretz Zabat Chalav Udvash. It says the honey that you have in Eretz Israel that comes mainly from dates, drips from the dates. To show you how much energy you have. And the energy is so strong that you don't have to squeeze the dates to get so-called the juice of the date, it's honey. It says it comes by itself. It's the same thing with the olive. It's called Zayit Aguri. Also, the olive in time of Gemara, the time of when Am Yisrael came to Eretz Israel, you did not have to squeeze the olive. If you just poke the olive with a needle, the olive used to come outside. This is the... The olive is itself, yeah. Because the olive is not the olive, it's just the oil. To do what? Only the seven and only from Israel, yeah. Yeah. As a diet, yeah. Yeah, as a diet, yeah. Zayit Aguri. Aguri. Aleph Gimel Vav Resh Yud. Yeah. That's how they used to have oil for the menorah in Bet HaMikdash. They didn't squeeze the olive. If you squeeze the olive, the oil that comes is not kosher for the menorah. In Bet HaMikdash, they used to light the menorah only with this olive oil that came from an olive. Only by poking the olive with a needle, the oil used to come outside, like a spring. It's the Leminachot. So Ari says the following. On creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created this world, he put the neshama down, and he made the supply for the neshama. This is the food that we have here. And this is why when he called Adam HaRishon, after he created Adam HaRishon, he told me, I want you to go to Gan Eden, and you may eat from all the trees. So then one tree don't eat. He says, what? Listen, I'm not hungry. I was just created now. He said, Hashem put him in Gan Eden, 2 hours after creation. He says, you want to eat something? He says, no, maybe pizza. It's lunchtime. So he eats from the fruits. So I don't want to eat nothing. Besides that, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made us and created us with a battery inside. And as long as the battery is going, you're alive. When Hashem decides that it's time for you to come back to Shamayim, Hashem just connect the battery. And that's the end of it. He says, why did Hashem have to do the whole system with the food and to grow all the things? That's called the matching between your neshama and the food. And this is called the zivug, the connection between your neshama and the food. And this is so-called the energy for the neshama. It's not for your body. Hashem never had in mind to produce so much food for the body of the person. The opposite. The body gets so-called the junk of the food. The main thing for the food is for your neshama, and this is the taste and the smell. That's what really happened in the desert. The main thing what I'm saying had in the desert is the man, and the man was a spiritual food that only went inside the neshama, and Am Yisrael were able to survive. If you feed your neshama right, that's what the body is going to go along with the neshama. That's what the neshama, so-called, is the motor of the system and carries the system. So you have a test now. So you want to know, Hashem created, this is the purpose of creation. That's the way Hashem created this. I want to know, where am I, if I want to test myself without going to take a blood test. And I want to know what's my situation, Shoshana is coming, and I want to know where I'm up to, I tell you, it's a very easy thing, you say you have something in your backyard, so yeah, I planted something. I said, let me tell you something, if you planted in your backyard, and the thing that you planted gives fruits, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is okay with you. It means you have food for your neshama. Hashem created you, and Hashem created mainly your soul, your neshama, and Hashem supplies the food for the neshama. He says, go to the backyard and look on the tree. He says, the first fruit that you see on the tree, you're very happy. He says, what are you happy about? He says, called Bikurim. He says, what is this? He says, that shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with me. It shows that I know really what the world is all about. It's the world of souls, it's not the world of bodies. It is because here, see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I would not think like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the right that I have a tree, nothing grows on the tree. It says, Bikurim, it says that's the mitzvah that Hashem says, you know, you have to get to bring Bikurim from your backyard, you must own the land, and this has to be from the seven kinds only, because those are so-called the fathers of all the energy that give and supplies to the neshamot, to the souls. It says, that's the test. It says, Baruch Hashem, I wake up in the morning, and I went to my backyard, and I saw this raisin, it says, this grape, I said, oh, it says, just take it to Yerushalayim, give it to the Kohen. I said, I want to tell you something. You see, once upon a time, my great-grandfather, his name was Jacob, and he went to his future father-in-law, Laban, and he got married, and Laban wanted to kill him. And he says, what do you think Laban wants to kill him? That Jacob didn't steal from him anything. Why do you want to kill him? The opposite. He says, because he wanted to destroy the soul of Am Yisrael, like all the rest of the goyim, they wanted to destroy us. As they went to Egypt, it was the same thing. It says, they wanted to destroy our soul, not our body. It says, I want to explain to you something. When Yaakov went down to Egypt, you read the text, and the text it says, listen, when Yaakov went down with 70 people, and eventually it was 600,000. Like, it's not the quantity, it's the number. Number 70 means branches of souls. Number 600,000, it means the leaves of the soul. There are no more than 600,000 souls in Am Yisrael. The more people you have after 600 is duplicate. There are 600,000 souls. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can cut the soul to million pieces. But you can't say, you know, we have, Baruch Hashem, 30 billion Jews. You don't have 30 billion Jews. You have 600,000 neshamot. If Hashem would like, so-called, to put it together, it means like Bank of America bought Merrill Lynch. So now it's one entity. It says all the Jewish people are together 600,000. Before they became 600,000, there were 70. It is not multiplication of people, it's multiplication of souls. That before were only 70 souls. Eventually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made from the 70 souls 600,000. But that's it. After 600,000, it repeats itself. That's what we tell the Kohen when we come to Beit HaMikdash, say on the text. It says, what do you get here? It says, I have Bikurim. It says, what do you got? It says, I got the razor for you. It says, what is the symbol of that, sir? It says, this is that grew in my backyard. That's a symbol that HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplies to my soul the energy that my soul needs. I says, you got it right. Let me explain to you. Happiness is in your heart. Happiness is not from music. I says, and David HaMelech says in Tehillim a few times. He says, Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Mesamchelev. Simcha, happiness is in your heart. It's not on your face. Your heart has to be happy. It says your heart has to be happy. It says, Yain Yisamach Levavinosh. It says, wine makes the heart happy. Happiness is in the heart. Let me tell you something. It says, you got to be happy to read the text. This is why. I'm not a farmer. It says, you don't understand. It's not to do with being a farmer. It says, you're happy means your heart is happy. Your neshama is in the heart. The neshama is happy when you have something to bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says, let me tell you when you're happy, really. When you're happy is when you bring all the food inside the house. It's not the quantity of the food that you brought inside the house. It's the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplied your food. But again, the food is not for your body. The food is for your soul. As the food is for my soul, as I'm very happy, between Chag HaShavuot and Chag HaSukkot, you know, I was able to collect so much produce to bring to my house. This is what you're happy about, that you can have in your house grain, your grapes. No. If I have in my house a supply for my soul. Says, that's what the Torah says. You may not read the text after Sukkot. This is why I'm not happy. No, you don't put the happiness on your face. That Baruch Hashem, you have in your backyard food. That you have produce. That I'm happy that I was able to bring the produce to the house because it means it grew. If it grew, it means Hashem takes care of me. Hashem brought food for my soul. That's why I come to Beit HaMikdash. I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here it is. I said, what is this? It says, this is the fruit. It says, the fruit resembles so-called the fuel for your soul. I understand. I see you next year. If you live on this attitude. If you eat on this attitude, says Zari, you're going to live next year. All the food that you eat, says Rambam, and says Ibn Ezra, is poison for you. He says, the less you eat, you live longer. He says, what is behind it? It's behind it, the food is poison for your neshama, poison for your body. He says, the only reason Hashem wants you to eat is to get fuel for your neshama. The neshama already, the soul already will carry your body. He says, this is the power of that mitzvah bikurim, that Hashem is very happy that people are dancing on the street. He says, the people close the stores. He says, the man is, what you bring a raisin? He says, no, a raisin is not a raisin. A raisin is just to show that you understand the purpose of creation. That Hashem is very happy. He says, that land of Israel, that is about Chalav Dvash. I want to explain to you something, the date tree. A date tree is not even a date, it means nothing. I want to explain to you something. He says, the inside of the date is so-called istahani. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about dates, HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to the date tree, to the fruit that's called date, not by the date. He refers it as honey. He says, Israel is not a land of a physical land. The Gemara says it's called Eretz Tzvi. The Gemara said, you know, there were 400 million Jews live in Yerushalayim. Ask how did it pass away? That's not normal. The Gemara says, you don't understand. That's a stretch. It says Israel is a stretch. It's not a physical country. It says the Beit Hamidash people used to come. It says that Beit Hamidash was just this mountain we have today in Yerushalayim. It says millions of people used to come to Korban Pesach. I said, how many people can stand over there? It says they used to come, Shalosh Regalim, they used to come to Beit Hamidash, they all bow down on Beit Hamidash. It's impossible. It's like, Ma, you don't understand. Israel is a spiritual country. It is not a physical country. It says, I'm going to tell you something. When I moved to Israel, it's a Muslim because it's a land that produces honey. I said, what do you mean, sir? It says, listen, you see that date tree in Israel? The date tree, stand next to the date tree, you see dripping, honey dripping. It says, the Gemara says, people used to come to Yerushalayim, used to see rivers in Yerushalayim, like in Amsterdam. You have water in the middle of the street. Amsterdam is called Lahag. Amsterdam. I said, Yerushalayim was the same thing. Streams of honey. Traveling on the street, it says, what is the significance? What is the sign? Just Israel is a spiritual country. You don't move to Israel because I love the weather over there, because it's a good country, that I high tech, I'm getting a good job. You go to Israel because it's a spiritual country. A spiritual country, that's the guy came to the Bikurim and says, here I am. So let me tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the way, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did something what you expected me to do. It says, what? It says, you know, I brought the Bikurim here. I brought the Bikurim to you is to show you that I understand that the whole world is running on a spiritual clock. I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if that's the way, I want you to let go so-called of the punishment. I said, the punishment that we read, says, this is Parasha. And he says, you know, that sentence, if you have it's called Balei HaTosfot. It's a very long thing that, you know, I want you to go to sleep because tomorrow is the hot. It says, that sentence 63, by the way, 63 is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says, over here it says the date of Mashiach. The date, somebody's going to ask when Mashiach will come, here it says. And if you want to know exactly the date, it says over here exactly the date. You just don't know when to count, to start the counting. But when is going to be the end? I tell you when it's going to be. And it's going to be when the Goyim are so happy to destroy you. That's what Hashem says, that's the end of the cross. I'm going to tell you something very happy thing for you. So what's the happy thing? He says, the curse is 98 curses. So what do you try to tell me? I said, I want to tell you something. When 98 curses will come to the end, then Mashiach is going to come. He says, what says Hashem says? When I'm going to take the happiness that I have, and the happiness that provided you with everything, soon you're going to see the Goyim have the same happiness to destroy you, time for Mashiach. It says, that is the purpose of the curses. Before Rosh Hashanah, it says, Ari, the purpose of the curses is to prepare us for redemption. It says, the redemption is the suffering that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us so much, and they're happy. When they punish us, they say, when they're happy when they punish you, when they give you a hard time, it says, that's time for Mashiach. It says, that was the time of Hitler. The lot is we got Israel. So people say, oh, Mashiach is coming. It's true. Because if you saw the happiness of those animals to kill us and to torture us, it says that's what the Torah says. It says before Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says the Rosh Hashanah is the blood of Shofar is the sign of Mashiach. It says here, it says this last affair, read this parasha, read the curses. And the curses is only to prepare you for the redemption. The redemption is, of course, Parashat Bikurim, says the Gemara, that this is the most important part to get you to Eretz Israel is this mitzvah. So this is what's so important about this mitzvah is not, it's not the preparation for Mashiach, it means spiritual life. A spiritual life will lead you for redemption. It says, read the parasha, it says, and you get to that pasuk, Ba'al-Kurei, read the pasuk, Samechei, chapter 28, it says, emphasize it, this is the time for redemption, and if you have at home, you call it Golot Chumash, and you know Hebrew well, you can read that similar to Svot, it's a very long piece, and it gives you exactly the Mashiach will come. Again, we just don't know the date when to start that amount of years that they refer to, says Dari, but again, this is time for redemption after so much suffering, Samechei, quoting the Talmud, and then Dari said, yes, the Israel Sefer with his wisdom said, read these curses before Rosh Hashanah, means ready for the next step to have the redemption of Aminam.